Three, two,
one. From the sleeve of the fleshlight.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Right, good, that's
what
that's
what
I
get. Eagle! Showtime!
Pizza,
pizza.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? Or I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. For the stream is good to write the DLNTS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxTech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 809 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Yo, yo, yo.
And we have Pat.
Has it stopped raining yet?
Probably really? Not. And we have Joe.
Here I am.
To save the day.
You'll see. Joel.
Starting a little bit late because I'm watching our neighbor's dog because he had to go out of town on business. And the dog, we're upstairs watching some Wolf Pit. I was watching some Wolf Pit before the show, Joe, what are we eating? And
yeah, baby.
Yeah, so this all ties together here, Joel. It all ties together. And I heard the dog's going crazy, you know, barking down here and stuff like that. But one of them sets the other one off because somebody's walking down the street. And so I didn't give it too much mind. But when I came down, I couldn't find the dog. We were watching Maxine, who discovered, busted through the back screen door. The top part of the screen busted through it. And I had to chase her down. And one of the interesting things she has is the track it. Tractive GPS collar is what it's called. And I'll tell you what, that thing is really handy because on the many times that I've had to track her down, the GPS collar, really accurate, takes you right to her. This time it didn't take me right to her because I think the battery's going bad on it. My neighbor was out and saw her too, and they went after her. So I had to turn around and come back and get the car because she was getting too far away, and he was chasing her and managed to catch up with her. But when he got her, I found out from a couple other people walking by that helped, but he had already returned her to the house. But the GPS, the tractive GPS, was showing that she was still, you know, around where I was looking for her. So I thought maybe the collar fell off, and I said to my wife, who said that Bill, our next door neighbor who got her, was bringing her back, and I said, does she have the collar? And my wife didn't know because she hadn't been back yet. So it turns out when I was looking around for her, I went to the spot where the GPS tracker said she was. I didn't see it there, and that's when my wife had texted me like she had her collar on. So I think the battery is going on that. But and the other times that she's gotten away, like I knew exactly where she was with the collar. And it's been really handy, the GPS tractive collar. So I recommend that device. If you have a dog that likes to get out and run away and you want to keep track of her, that the tractive GPS works mm-hmm. extremely well. I don't know how much it costs.
Maybe it's time for you to get one for Hercules.
You know, I thought about that, but see, here's the problem with Hercules, right? If you don't chase him, he don't go anywhere. He'll walk around. He'll walk around the back area, and he'll crap in the neighbor's yards and stuff. But he'll stick really close by the house, and then eventually he'll just come back up on the porch and want to be let in. But if you try and get him, you will chase him all over the damn fort. So, you know, I don't know. I seriously did consider getting one for him, and maybe we will, because it is a fantastic device. But that So the other thing, Joel, leading back to the wolf pit, we tried the noodles that you sent us, the nuclear noodles that they had on the wolf pit. And I still haven't seen an episode of the wolf pit yet because we haven't worked our way up there. We're almost there. But yeah, you are right. I found them like when you first
it's strange, ain't them, it?
Yeah, it's really they're really like a kick in the mouth. And, you know, you're like, okay. And then it's like that flavor kicks in and the umami and everything. And it hits you in the back of the throat. And it's like, you know, you want to eat more. Like, you're like, these are pretty tasty. You want to eat more. And then it kicks you in the mouth and then you want to eat more. It's kind of like that. Now, I liked them. Avery thought they were all right. But nobody else liked them. My wife didn't. Lily didn't. Paige was not too keen on them. Yeah. So Lily absolutely did not like them. I think she only tried like a little piece of noodle. I did enjoy them. And yes, the next day they did give me a little bit of the burning road to recovery in the back there. You're right, the bidet does give it that nice refreshing. I'm going to spread that hot oil around a little bit, but also give you a break. So they were pretty good.
I want to get some and mix some stuff in it, like put some chicken or some veggies with it. That'd be pretty good, I think. Put some protein in there to help cut the oil. And I think the other kind of cool thing about those is that they didn't have the like the typical ramen style packet. It had the two packets,
right?
And that's different.
Yeah, there was the seaweed and there was some shea bonito in there and sesame seeds. I was surprised that it wasn't like an oil. Yep. Instead of a powdery package, so that, but then again, that being an oil, it really coats your mouth, and that burn stays with you for a while. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I bet you the 1X ones probably be a little bit more pleasing, or not pleasing, but more pleasurable. You know, they're going to have that spice, but they're not going to be, you know, really kick you in the ass. You know,
did anybody else in your family try those ones?
No.
Wait, were you the only one that had it in your family?
Neither of them. Yeah, neither one of them would like it. None of them. I mean, my son will eat hot stuff every once in a while, but like, if it's much hotter than like standard buffalo wings, forget it.
Uh huh.
Like, one of my favorite buffalo wings to get at BW3 is the mango habanero, and those are really warm, and nobody would like those. But yeah, I think it's neat, and it's neat nowadays that, you know, we can try stuff like that. It's like you know, years ago before the internet, you know, could you even try that kind of stuff at home? You could. The only way you could is if you actually went there and brought it back with you. But nowadays, you can just go on Amazon and order it. Pretty cool.
My son is into Japanese culture, and for his last birthday, my sister sent him like a Japanese snack gift pack from Amazon, and it was all like you know, snacks and candies and shit. And some of that shit was just bizarre, off the wall.
I've seen some of those on YouTube, people tucking into those, and yeah, there's some crazy flavors in there.
Like Pocky actually Pocky is starting to become easier to find here, and like I know Walmart has it, as well as our Kroger, and not just the standard chocolate vanilla Pocky, like you get the strawberry. Almond Crush and the strawberry, right? And you can also do occasionally you can find the Almond Crunch.
I do like the green tea Pocky.
Yeah, I like the green tea Pokey too. That's like my favorite one right there. And occasionally you can find the pretz too, which is the like the savory kind of pocky or pokey or whatever you want to call it.
Squid pocky.
No. I
wonder if they have that.
Yeah, they like squid, crab cake.
Well, actually, that's my favorite thing is Kit Kats from Japan, because you can get flavors that they just don't ever have here, like pumpkin and sweet potato. Green tea Kit Kat. Green tea Kit Kat's my favorite, to be honest. But then I think I've had a like strawberry Kit Kats. Now some of that's not as weird, but I mean, Japan has this fascination with Kit Kat that is just weird. Because you can get just about everything.
It's not as weird as their fascination with, like, soiled panties being sold in vending machines in train stations.
That's true. And then, and vending machines are just a huge thing in Japan, too. Like, one of my favorite YouTube channels is Eric Surf 6. It's this guy who lives in Japan. He's American. And he'll go in the... reach out and find these, not the really weird vending machines, but like the food vending machines. Like, you know, in our case, if you're eating lunch out of a vending machine, usually it's a cold deli sandwich or maybe some shitty microwavable full food. Well, in Japan, you get like a big old bowl of ramen with vegetables and meat and stuff right out of a vending machine. So, I mean, it's something just completely different that we just don't have here in America. So, it's just that the Japanese culture is like if you think Americans are addicted to being consumers, try Japan.
Then is there fascination?
There's a bunch of different pocky flavors.
Now, pocky, is that like the stuff that's like the consistency of Play-Doh?
No, that's like a little breadstick dipped in chocolate. Pocky. No, pocky is like a little.
Isn't it M-O-C-H-I? Is what you're thinking of, Pat? It's like a little gummy ball.
Yes, mochi.
Mochi. Yeah, mochi. Mochi. Yes, mochi.
Yeah, mochi is a rice candy, or the Baten rice candy, right?
There's a lot of different pocky flavors, but you ain't getting the most of them in here, in the United States, unless you import them, I guess. It's like, I know there's at least 15 of them, apparently. Although I can't find a list. Oh, pocky. Here we go. Here's.
And Japan is also one of the places.
I don't see a full list.
Now, if you live in Ohio, you probably have heard of Lawson's before, or which I think that ended up becoming Dairy Mart here in Ohio. But they're gone, and Japan's one of the only places that you can still find a Lawson's. And then there's also. Mr. Donut was a donut place that started in America, and the only ones that are left are in Japan because they're basically independent and of the original company. So Mr. Donut, the only Mr. Donuts are left in Japan. So Japan's weird like that. They'll basically buy the rights to do it in Japan and want to do it as a literal independent company. So that happens quite a bit there.
So in the United States, you can get, in addition to chocolate, strawberry, and matcha green tea, cookies and cream, and chocolate banana. Which I've never seen.
And I've seen cookies and cream. They're okay. I'm trying to think if I had the banana. I don't know if I had the banana, but I did have a... Payjoy, which is it's like Pocky but inside out, where the crunchy part's on the outside and the chocolate's in the middle. But yeah, I enjoy that, and my son likes that stuff too, Pocky, real well.
Ay, ay, ay. Oh, so I got a question for you, Joel. Since I can't ask Rich, too, I might as well ask you, since you're the last one to play with this. I didn't get to do much with the Pine Book this week. I played around with it a little bit, and one of the problems I noticed with it right off the bat, just like running just the stock Android, firing up the... It was really slow looking through, like, web pages, like certain web pages. Mm-hmm. If you go to a web page that, like, had a lot of stuff on it, like, if you go to most any, like, news site or social media site or anything like that, there's usually, like, a lot of content on the page. And, boy, was it really loading slow on this thing. Like, it took a long time for the pages to render. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, it was agonizingly slow. So I was like, right off the bat, that is murder.
But then I really didn't use it in Android all that much. I just loaded up a memory card and put the Mint, Ubuntu Mint on there, and it was okay, but generally, yeah, it was. It was not as slow as what you're saying it was, but definitely slower than just accessing it on a normal laptop or on my phone.
Now, when you that's what I wanted to ask you, because I was that was my next step, was I was going to look at trying out a version of Linux on this. Can you just drop it onto a SD card or a USB stick and run it off of there, or do you actually have to install it?
There's multiple ways that you can do it. You can, if you go to the main Pinebook website and download Etcher, their version of Etcher, you have to have it on a micro SD card, so it has to go on a micro SD card. But you can actually have it such that it'll boot off a micro SD card and install it to the eMMC, or you can also have it where it just boots off the micro SD card.
But I have to put it on there with Etcher on the micro SD card.
Yep.
So I have to take it. I have to get Etcher and then use that to from my laptop.
Correct.
Use that to put it on.
Yep. I wish it could boot off the USB, because that would be kind of handy. But no, you do have to have it on a micro SD. So, but it's not that bad. I mean, at least. I'll say this, at least the micro SD will stay completely inside of it instead of sticking out, you know?
Dun dun dun. So I'm on their website trying to find where the hell I'm supposed to go for any of this stuff.
Let me see if I can find it.
Because I went to their website and then went to the Pine 64, the laptop Pine Book, and it didn't like have anything like links to that stuff. So it's got to be somewhere else, like just the software to download. Like, man, really, why can't these companies like? And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm an idiot that can't find this stuff on their website. It used to be you go to like a website like this and either go to a device and it would have a page of support, or there would be a community page. So I guess it must be the Partners Project. In the Partner Projects tab, you can find the OS you're interested in. Oh, Partners Project. Holy crap. Look at that. There's a lot of them. So you got...
Xenial Monte EMMC is the version I tried.
So looking on their website, I don't see Linux Mint as an option under the partner project.
Yeah, it's not. But there you go. Not Linux Mint. Mate.
Oh, you got
Xenial Mate.
Off of the page?
Yeah, I just dropped a link in the Mumble chat of their wiki. And that lists all the different builds they have.
Oh, what the fuck? I hate when they do this. Well, did you get that off? Okay, so... So there... This is an accessibility problem, and I'm real... What is this... So if you go to their page, there's a getting started to, or the partner projects, and they list partner projects in alphabetical order, but it's like, I'm assuming that it's on there. No, that's not it. But when you go to their page, the menu for N to Z extends below the screen on my laptop, and I can't get it to like scroll down because it's one of those JavaScript pop-up things, and it's I absolutely hate when they do that. Maybe I can, I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Maybe I can reduce the... okay, here we go. If I reduce the size of the font... Ugh. Wait, I don't even see it on here. Where is Mate Zinio? You didn't get it off of their partner projects, did you?
It's loaded on the wiki, but basically all you got to do is get Etcher, their version of Etcher, and then basically that's all you need. Because it'll download everything for you. So basically, it'll download it and then write it to your micro SD card.
So where the hell do they hide?
Yeah, Etcher? I'm trying to find it myself too. I forget where it was.
Like, I might as well just. I bet you I can find it through Google.
Probably. Faster. Pine64 installer is what you should look for.
The flash. This is a tool we forked from Etcher to add easy menu for downloading Pine. Okay.
Here, I found a direct link there.
Is it on their? Is it their GitHub page?
Yep, GitHub page, yep.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
But basically, download it. And I assume on Linux, you'd have to run it as root, is my guess.
Dun, 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 dun. So you got Linux 64 zip or x86 zip? I wonder... 52 megabytes. Oh no!
I remember when that was a large file. Oh, dude.
Yeah,
remember back in the day. Although you know what, I had an SD card laying around here a little while ago, and I don't know what I did with it. Boy, that burns me up.
I don't know either, man.
Well, I don't expect you to know what you did with what I did with my SD card. You should keep them in, and I bet you it's where I think it is.
It's a, it, you know where it
I'm
is,
supposed
Dan?
To put there.
It's in the last place you looked.
Because I won't be looking right. For it after that. Because I found it. Oh, see, this is, man. I got compact flash. What is this? This is a type of card that. 16 megabyte card right here.
Gigabyte, you mean?
Megabyte.
That's a megabyte card?
It's for an Olympus camera, I think. Yeah, 16 megabyte card. I got an HP 4 megabyte card for a compact flash card. And I got two of those. Oh, no, this is 128 megabyte digital media compact flash. Holy crap, remember compact flash?
I do.
Wow. I have no idea what I did with that SD card. It's not where I thought it would be. I should have known it's not where I thought it would be. It makes me wonder what I did do with it. Damn it, I was just looking at it the other day, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this card? It's small enough to lose. And that's why I failed, Joel. That's why I failed. Wait, did I... Yeah, what did I do with it? I was like, I should put it here so I don't lose it. And guess what?
Oh, well.
It's gone.
That reminds me, yeah, since so I'm sitting here, I might as well go ahead and order my coffee. I've been... yes,
order it. Where the hell are you?
It's a specific coffee, and I can get it in bigger packages if I order it from Amazon. Otherwise...
Oh! I mean, I thought you were like ordering something for now.
Like,
you
to
mean
make
like
in the morning, or well, actually, probably wouldn't get here till the next day, probably. But yeah, one of my favorite coffees for my Keurig is Death Wish Coffee. It's supposed to be the world's strongest coffee, but all I know is I like it and it tastes good. So I can get it at Walmart, but I can get a bigger pack that lasts longer if I get it on Amazon. And let me tell you, they're quick now. Columbus, I don't know about where you're at, Dan, but Columbus, if it's got a Prime logo on it, I can get stuff here in a day. Just press a button and it's here the next day, pretty much.
Yeah, I get mixed results. I do. I get... Sometimes I get it really fast. Other times it takes, like, longer than I expected to. What is this? All right. I found a 16 gigabyte card. And I am, there's stuff on it, so I'm going to, figure out what my, try and remember. Oh, there it is. And my password is to my Samba share on my NAS storage and copy the shit over there. Because why not? One big old fat frickin' copy. Put it in a new directory. Call the new folder. People like to call them folders.
I need to go to either Walmart or Lowe's and get some. I made a thing that I hope to use on my drive down to Charlotte here next month. I made a like kind of like a. It looks a little taller than a pop can. It's the same width as a pop can, but then I basically made it like an empty cylinder, and then in the top I have a lid that I designed to go on it that has a hole in the middle of it big enough for a tripod mount, so like a tripod screw. So I just need to go to the hardware store and get the screws. And then once I get the screws on the lid, I'll glue that lid on top of it with some super glue. And the whole idea is that I can use it to hold my DJI Osmo Mobile 2 in the car. Basically put it in one of the drink holders up by me. That way I can have my phone in it and recording like time lapses and video as I drive along. Or maybe not as I drive along, but you know what I mean. So that way I can have it film some video of me while I'm driving, which is kind of nice. So, but that's just kind of one thing I designed. Then of course, then there's the you called it a bong, but my Keurig K-cup holder, I redesigned it yet again. And since I have a printer that can print taller versions of it, I made one that's tall enough that'll hold not as many as my original, but it'll hold 5 K cups, and then have a little bit of space left over so I can stuff in some like a. When my coffee, I don't use like sugar or not NutraSweet, but the Splenda. I started using stevia in my coffee. I kind of prefer that now. So I just buy the big old pack of stevia over it.
The powdered or the liquid?
The powdered.
Actually, I think the liquid tastes a little better.
Yeah, I think it kind of like at least when I'm pouring it into the coffee, when you kind of catch a little bit of whiff of the powder, it kind of smells like vanilla to me. It doesn't taste like it, but it kind of smells like it to me. But I really don't notice the actual full flavor of it because I don't put that much in there, just a couple packets maybe, you know, depending on how big the cup is. Because I'll do it like where you have I have a couple mugs. Depending on the morning, how I feel in the morning, I'll get either a regular coffee mug. Like I think this morning was not a regular day. Because I grabbed my mom had got me for Christmas or my birthday, I can't remember which, but they got me a Star Trek mug, specifically a tankard, and it was the tankards they had about out right around Star Trek VI, when Faltzgraff had their deal with Paramount. So it has the Federation. I think it has the Federation logo on one side and Enterprise NCC 1701 on the other side. So, and this was when they lived in York, Pennsylvania. So they got it at the Faltzgraff outlet. So it's actually not perfect. So if the outside looks really good, but if you look inside, it kind of looks a little funky. But it holds the coffee well. And in that one, I can fit. I can brew an 8 ounce and a 6 ounce brew in my Keurig, so it'll fit about 14 ounces plus creamer and sugar and stuff. So that's one of the bigger ones I have. I have that, and then I have a NASA mug I got up at the Cleveland at the Great Lakes Science Center up there. And I got some others that are kind of that size. It'll fit both. An 8 ounce and a 6 ounce brew. Plus, if I brew an espresso for it, then I can fit 2 shots of Lungo shots of Nespresso and some milk in there. And there comes Flying Rich.
Dude, he's late too. Is this a coffee channel?
Nah, we're just chattering about 3D printing stuff.
Other than 3D printers, so.
Oh, so you're...
Well, it branched out from there. Yeah, but it branched out from there. I was talking about my little Keurig holder that I made on my 3D printer.
Oh, wow. And what about all those chemicals leaching out of that PLA that you used?
No, it just holds the K-cups, not brewed.
I'm teasing you.
I know you are.
Did you see the, like, microscope-type end on the 3D printer? It was on Hackaday. The planes are actually on Thingiverse.
No, I haven't seen that, but I have seen in the Creality group on Facebook, there was a kit shared where you can convert the Ender 3 into a laser cutter / burner, which is kind of nifty. So I don't know if I'd spend money to buy an Ender 3 kit to do that, but that does sound interesting, though.
Hey, Joel, so what are you doing Sunday?
I am going to church. Why? I'm not going to him.
For?
Why?
Just wondering, I'm going to be in Ohio Sunday.
Oh. A couple hours, usually. I'll probably be in there longer because there's a board meeting tomorrow or this week.
A board meeting at church? Isn't that redundant?
No. No, we got church business to take care of. Actually, something that might help us out a lot, too. I really can't talk about it now, but some stuff that we have to vote on, whether we want to do it or not.
So anyhow, I'm going to be at Thunder Valley Precision, which is in Kimbolton, Ohio.
Oh, crap. I don't even know that place. What big city is it nearby? Okay, so it's probably right around near Zanesville.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Cool. And right now, to kind of walk her back to Linux a little bit, Southeast Linux Fest website is down currently, and they're getting ready to post the schedule. It's been down since this weekend, though, so but hopefully soon they'll have the schedule up and registration open for Southeast Linux Fest. So I'm kind of excited about that. 29 days
till the server it's running on is okay.
No, dude, they use Linux. Come on. Come on.
Is IIS still around these days?
IIS? You mean IIS? Yeah, it's around. I use it almost every week at work. A lot of my products use it.
How's it run these days?
Actually, it runs pretty good. The UI that we use runs on it, but then we also have an API server that's built to run on it as well. That one, it kind of requires a large server to run 16 cores and 8 gigs of RAM. And that's for one node. You may need more than one node. You may need two, depending on how many concurrent sessions you need. But it runs okay. I mean, it's going to depend on which application you're running. The UI itself, that we which is the main user interface that our not the students use, but that staff uses, runs very well on it. So that's all HTML. 5. Our UI used to be Silverlight based, but since Microsoft's killing that, we had to switch it to something else. So,
to HTML5?
Yeah, HTML5, yep.
Shit, did you have Silverlight like 5 or 6 years ago?
And let's say, you know what though? I still have clients that have old servers with it on. So
what's the Adobe product that nobody uses anymore? Flash. That's
Flash. 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 God, I love Flash. The only thing it'll
attack vector.
I think it'll only thing it'll run on anymore is Internet Explorer. I don't even think it'll run on Firefox anymore.
Well, it's disabled, isn't it?
Yeah. Actually, Firefox has got some other things disabled too. Website notifications won't work on Firefox anymore.
Oh, God bless us all.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Well, I think when I go to a website, I got to say no,
yeah.
No.
I think
I
in there
agree to cookies, no to notifications.
Yeah, I think in Firefox's issue is that the that part of the browser has actually got a security issue right now, and they got it disabled until they fix it. So
leave it broken.
That's what I'm like, you know. See now. YouTube notifications on a browser, I get it. Gmail notifications on a browser, I get it. Okay? I even get Facebook notifications, even though I wouldn't turn those on to begin with. But when I just go to Joe Blow's website or Joe Company's website and try and use it, and they say, hey, can we turn on notifications? And I'm like, no, sorry. Or if I go to WAPO, you know, when I get that, and I'm like, no.
Isn't there an extension to automatically block that?
There may be. I don't know. I'm just too lazy to look it up on
Well,
that.
I thought yeah. You could do it in the settings, but apparently you can't.
Yeah. I mean, I get, like I said, I get it for certain websites, and I actually will have them enabled on certain websites, but, like, when I go to, like, for example, Kroger.com, and they say, would you like to turn notifications on? I'm like, no.
What the hell are they going to be notifying you of?
Exactly. I mean, if I have to log into your website, okay, maybe.
Let me just give you my phone number so you can text me.
Right. Yeah. Or, and actually, another one of my favorite weirdness with privacy is when you're using the free Wi-Fi and they say, can we have your email address and your phone number? And I'm like,
oh, yeah, I give it to.
Yeah, 895-1111.
Right, right.
That's Pizza Hut in Columbus, by the way.
8675309.
That's another good one to give them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or another, in a lot of cases, too, now what I'll do, like, my son started bowling up at Sequoia, doing a PBA experience league, and he does that on, like, Sunday nights, I think. Yeah. And I get on their Wi-Fi, and the one thing I always do, and this is something you should do, too, with if you have a Gmail account, start using the plus extension kind of deal. So your email address plus aword@gmail.com, the email will still come to you, but then if the email comes to you from somebody you don't know and it has the certain word, like I usually say plus where I'm at or plus wherever I used it, and then that way when you get an email from that address, you know who sold your number or your email address. So, yep.
Yeah, yep. I heard about that, and I forgot about doing that.
But well,
yeah,
I'll tell you what I do is because everything that goes to the EC9.us domain goes to me, so I'll just make it up on the fly. And if, you know, let's just say Ford wants to talk to me, I'll do like rjhford@ec9.us, and then I see if any emails come in from them.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't pique an interest for me are the ones that actually come from that place. So if I got an actual email from someone at SequoiaProBowl.com, then I would know, oh, that's okay. You know, that's fine. You can use that. But if I get an email from so-and-so I'm from that address, you know, so in my case, I use my email, Gorkin plus Sequoia. And so if I get an email from Gorkin plus, you know, that comes in via Gorkin plus Sequoia, I know they sold my address. And I can go back and yell at them. Not that it will do any good, but, you know. Yeah. So I think it's another interesting question I have for you guys. Other than, like, when you're doing work, when you're just, like, using a, like, coffee shop's Wi-Fi,
I assume I'm wealthy enough to be able to go out and buy coffee and sit around and use Wi-Fi.
You are, so shut up.
No, I'm not.
But say you're using somebody's Wi-Fi just like when you're on vacation or something.
I'm wealthy enough to buy the coffee. I'm not wealthy enough to sit around.
Yeah. Well, anyway, but do you other than
right, he stands?
But other than if you are,
you don't let him sit there.
Going into a work situation, on that kind of a situation, do you use a VPN for personal things?
I do.
Do you like Nord or something like that?
So here's the thing: if I go anywhere, if I'm just casually surfing, I don't care. I'll use anybody's Wi-Fi. But if I'm going to be doing banking or something like that, I'll tether off my phone.
Okay.
And my phone will be hooked to a VPN.
Right.
You don't go anywhere.
I don't. Yeah, I don't go anywhere, number one. But if I am somewhere else.
Okay.
I've been just using my phone most of the time and not using the Wi-Fi at places. But if I
see the only thing that kind of concerns me,
I'm trying to think. Like
I have T-Mobile Unlimited.
If it's right,
I will generally just use my phone to tether. And yeah, I'll sometimes even use a VPN if I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have terrible signal and no connection, and the only thing I have is some random company's Wi-Fi, then yeah, I'll jump on there, but I'm going to be using a VPN on that too.
Right. Because see, the only thing I'm a little bit worried about when I do that, and I usually, you know, those times I'm usually not, like, for example, I just put another order in on Amazon for some coffee, okay? And that way it'll come to the house. here in a couple of days. Of course, I didn't necessarily have to enter a card number because Amazon has my cards that I always use. But if I was out on vacation or something, 9 times out of 10, if I'm using public Wi-Fi, it's either to do social networks or to check like game scores or to look at traffic or something like that. I'm not doing something that would necessarily require me to be ultra secure, like buying something, you know. And even then, if I did that, then I would have to look at it. You know, is there a possibility the SSL on that website could be compromised via that, you know, coffee shop Wi-Fi? Maybe, because it's very possible that they could piggyback on that. But how likely is that? That's my thing, you know. Yeah, so I don't pay for one. I use one for work, obviously, you know, but 9 times out of 10, I'm not on VPN unless I'm doing actual work, you know.
Well, I do pay for PIA, and I do use it quite a lot. But I also have a VPN to the house just to get me on to, you know, my home network.
Your home things, right, yeah. And I don't remotely access any of my stuff that I have at home. So, I mean, you know, I do have, like a Plex Media server. But I only ever use that on my home network. If I'm traveling for work or something,
you can use OpenVPN and connect into it.
Right, but I can also just take the backup, one of my backups with me, which is on a terabyte hard drive, and stick it in my bag, and I have everything that's on it anyway.
So, sure. Yep.
I mean, then I don't have to have the internet at all to watch a movie that I have on that I've gotten in legal methods, like ripping my own Blu-ray. So
I have a Plex server in Orlando and I have one in Jupiter. Cause I'm either in Orlando 3 or 5 days a week. So
Now I will say that this, well, I don't know. I don't even want to access my lights from home. I could, you know, like from my phone, like if I'm out and about and I realize, oh, I forgot to turn lights off. I could do that. But I'm using a cloud-based service.
You mean you don't have presence detection going on that turns it off automatically when you're not there?
No, I don't have time to set that bullshit up, man. but, I mean, I could, you know, but I'd actually have to switch away from the gateway I'm using now. In fact, I've been debating that.
Do you have an Echo or anything like that at the house?
I do, yeah.
Here's something interesting you can try. VPN into the house. And then use your phone to drop in on your Echo.
That's right. You could do that.
Yep.
Via the Alexa app. Yeah.
Yep.
But
what I've noticed, if I say it doesn't matter where I am, as long as I have my phone with mm-hmm. me. If I say play classical music on the kitchen speaker to G, it'll do it.
Oh no, yeah, that will work. Yeah. That works all the time, yeah.
Because
yeah, well,
it'll play Pandora for like a couple of hours and then stop. And I want to make sure the bird has some music or something going on while mm-hmm. I'm gone. So, mm-hmm. You know, I just every once in a while tell, you know, G to do that.
Now on my light system that I have, I'm currently using Lightify's gateway, but their bulbs are actually Zigbee bulbs. So, I've been thinking about switching to something like I guess I could roll my own if I wanted to, but I'm also thinking about. I'm trying to think. Is it Wink? I think there's another gateway.
You could do
that's Zigbee.
Home Automation Assistant with
right.
Z-Wave.
OpenHAB. Oh yeah, Z-Wave. Yes.
Yeah. OpenHAB too. Yep.
Yep. But something other than the Lightify ones, because one thing I noticed is I bought four new bulbs. Three of them actually go into the fixture that's in our bathroom. And the problem I've had now, I'm not sure if this is related to the gateway or the firmware on the bulbs, or if it's related. It might also be temperature related, because one of them I have in my light lamp that I made for my office, and one thing I notice is when it's up At 100%, even though it doesn't really feel that warm on the outside of it, right around the light, if it's up at 100%, it'll turn itself off. Now, what's funny is if you go into the Lightify app, it still thinks it's on. So you tap off, it'll turn on briefly and then turn off. So I'm halfway thinking it might be firmware, because the ones in the bathroom aren't enclosed like the one in my lamp I made. They're just in an open globe, and they don't really feel hot at all either. But they'll do that too. Like, my wife will be in the shower, and the light will go off in the bathroom. All three. Now, what? Luckily for her, it hasn't been all three of them. It's only one or two of them that'll go off, but usually it's enough to make it a little darker in there than it usually is. But I'm thinking, and it's only the four new ones that I'm having the problem with. I have other ones, and they're working fine. So I'm thinking about switching to away from the Lightify one and into something, one of the other ones. And a lot of the other ones too, like the Wink. I keep wanting to say Wink. I'm not sure if it's right, but I know in some of the other ones they have a little bit more features that the Lightify one doesn't have. Like, I might be able to pick up like a light sensor so that I can have it automatically turn on the lights, like if it gets to a certain lumens of darkness outside, you know, so that way when it starts to get dark outside, I can have it turn the lights on automatically, which would be useful like for in cases like if we're on vacation or even just in a day-to-day thing. I normally don't like a lot of automation with those kinds of things. I like it more for being able to remotely control them, or like if I climb in bed and the lights are still full on in the living room, I'll turn them off. Or then again, I could also be like Door and just make sure I get some really low wattage ones and just leave them on all the time. Because, I mean, let's be honest, LED light bulbs don't use a lot of electricity, not like our old incandescents that we used to use. So, I mean, you know, you're talking maybe 15 watts on some of the modern light bulbs, like 100 watt equivalent. You could be around 15 watts, depending on the bulb. So
there's that too. I have LED night lights around the house because where I am, one, there's absolutely no light pollution where I am.
You're lucky.
I should build an observatory in my backyard. and you know, it's just fantastic. I'm in awe every time I like take the garbage out at 9 o'clock at night and I look up and you see the freaking Milky Way. It's gorgeous.
That's freaking awesome, gorgeous. Actually.
But what that means is you can't see crap in the house.
I have to look at the map, but I think we're due to get another Aurora Borealis soon.
Oh crap, hey, in like an hour there I can go outside and see a space launch.
It's SpaceX.
Yep. They're launching orbital internet just for you, Joel.
I wouldn't use it anyway, but...
What? Well, the thing that they don't tell you is you need a ground station. There's got to be some sort of... Because it's like KA and KU band that are... I forget which one's up, which one's down. But there's still going to have to be... ground state, you know, it's not like you're going to have Wi-Fi to a device from a SpaceX satellite. That's not going to happen. And unfortunately, everybody that writes an article makes it seem that way. That's not the case. You got to look at the FCC filings and see what bandwidth they filed for.
I need to find the map, but I think it might be tonight when that is. It's not going to be as far south as Florida, but in Ohio, you might be able to see it. We're on the extreme edge of it. I probably won't be able to see it because I have the nice bright lights of Columbus to the north of me. But
I've seen the aurora like once or twice near me.
I I remember my mom showing us the Aurora. We were able to see it when we were kids, but I haven't seen it since then. Yeah, I saw that it was on one of the hamvention groups. Since there are many hams making the trek towards the Xenia / Dayton area to participate in the Dayton Hamvention. Yes, lots of rascals.
Firing up the jazzies, random too. Huh? That's a rascal.
And that's a good thing. I honestly, I was debating whether I could still go, and I might go Friday, or not Friday, but Saturday. But my thing is, I don't really have anything I want to buy right now, ham radio oriented, that I can get at a cheaper price at Hamvention. Sometimes you can, but lately, you know, the discounts that you can get at the show really aren't as high as just what you can get on the internet. Like, right now, the only ham radio related project I have is I want to build what's called a Zum Spot, and it's basically a hotspot for both D-Star and for DMR, which I would definitely be able to use. But then, you know, I was talking to my wife, we were talking about it, and I basically said, would I like a mobile radio for my car? Yeah. Yeah, that would have a higher wattage than, 5 watts out, which are what most of my HTs do. Because I can get a radio to do 50 watts and have that in a car. But to be honest, I don't need it. When I go down to Charlotte for the Southeast Linux Fest, I'm just going to bring my hotspot with me, have it tethered to my phone in hotspot mode for internet, and then I can listen to channel 30C the whole way down. And as long as my phone has internet connection, I can have it there, and I can have the battery, the power on my handheld set to ultra low. So it'll last definitely the whole trip with no problems. So I don't need the high wattage stuff, and I don't even need to put an antenna on the outside of my car to make that work. I can just use the rubber duck built that's attached to the radio. So, I would like an HF setup for the car at some point, but that's thousands of dollars counting the antenna and the feed wire. So I'm not going to spend that right now. Maybe when I get my bonus next year, but not right now. So I just, other than the Sea People, the Ham Nation folks are going to be there. Like, I know Don Wilbanks is going this year. It would be nice to stop by his booth, their booth, and talk to him a little bit. Russ and Cheryl are going to be there. They're already at Zydeco's, I think, tonight in Indiana, having some Cajun food over there. But
What I want to go for is there's two events. It's the Jazzy Drag Race and then the Jazzy Demolition Derby.
They don't those directly the have either of those events, but in any way. Actually, one of these days I'd like to go. There is an extended event that's out there, and I'd want to stay out there for the whole thing.
The Jazzy Endurance Run. Just
no,
like
no, no, no. Shut up, Rich. Come on. There is the event there called 4 Days in May, which is a QRP-oriented event, which basically kind of like a mini show centered around QRP. So that costs a little extra money. It's not directly related to Hamvention, but it does happen at the same time as Hamvention. So I've always been meaning to go to that. But then I was, like I said, I was just not that interested in going this year. I'll be back some year, but I think right now I really want to go to the Southeast Linux Fest again this year, which that's happening. And then I think next year there's a ham buddy / friend of mine that's also into 3D printing, probably more so than me. He has probably about 5 to 10 printers, I think, now. Yes, I said 10. I'm probably going to try and set something up with him so that we either we can ride together or at least share some of the cost of a trip out to Goshen, Indiana for the Midwest Rip Rap Festival. That usually happens in March.
Hey, Rich, check it out.
Rep Rap is the open source 3D printing.
What is that?
So the Midwest Rep Rap Festival is basically a 3D printing fest.
Oh.
So you'll have guys like Thomas and Latterer usually goes. Huh. And he comes from all the way from, what, Germany, I think, right? Or is he Netherlands? I can't remember. Anywho, Thomas Sandlatter. Rich knows who I'm talking about. He'll be there. Usually he's there. Barnacles has been coming to it as well. Barnacles Nergazm Jerry Berg is his name. Or Joel Telling from 3D Printing Nerd. He'll be there. And I don't think Angus has made it. Angus Devinson from Maker's Muse. It's kind of cool to see that. I know the guys from E3D come there. They're the ones who make the Volcano nozzle and several different pieces of rep rap hardware that you can use. They got some really interesting stuff happening, like their tool changer stuff. Have you seen that stuff yet, Rich? Did he other?
He dropped off.
Ah, crap.
Hey, I guess. Is Rich still here?
That basically,
you yelled at
they're
him
developing
and then he
like
cried
a tool changer so that you can swap
like
that from the 3D printing head to, say, like a laser cutter, all on the same hardware. So, and you don't have to actually take anything apart. It's a magnetic mount kind of system. But that's from the E3D guys. So, Murph is one. There's an Earth too, an East Coast Rap Rap Festival. That's out actually close to where Dora is in Maryland. But anyway, so Pat, are you actually going to go to Self next this year?
I put in for time. I haven't heard back yet, so.
Okay. You might want to make your reservation soon.
Are they running out?
They filled the block up at least once. I know there's rooms now, so. Fact, I actually got a call to Sheraton. I want to switch. I had made a reservation for one king size, but I think I'm going to switch it to a queen because I think there's a possibility. A friend of mine. Guy, go.
Do you want to get a little more snuggly, huh?
That I've known for years. His son went to Cub Scouts with my son. So he started coming to my church. So I told him, hey, you know, if you want to come down, you know, all you got to do is worry about food. I'll get the room. I don't care. You know, you can just ride down with me. And as long as you feed yourself, I'm good. And the show's free. So there you go. No,
well,
to get two queens
what
versus
that have
one
to
king.
Do with you getting a smaller bed?
No.
Oh, I thought you were getting one queen.
No, it's either
you're going from a single king to
two queens.
Single queen. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's
all
two
right.
I think two
wait,
queens.
Wait, would it be two queens or would it be two
Sheraton,
twins?
So two queens probably.
Two queens, okay.
So, and actually, the Sheraton is actually owned by Marriott right now.
Okay.
The Sheraton Marriott airport where we were last year, they're owned by Marriott. That has happened, so hopefully they can stay there after this year. I hope so. But so Marriott and Starwood are starting to own everything with regards to hotels. Spam.
Oh man, you stay at one of those places. And you just get, like, I should never have given that
I'm
email.
I'm already in the rewards
you just get, like,
program,
I get all the
time, so I don't
like,
mind
hey,
that
I guess
so
the rewards
much,
program,
you know?
This and that. I mean,
because I travel enough, like, at least one of my stays for Luke had a well, this is the last year in it, but in the and we don't need to do it anymore for JTBA because all the rest of the events are here in Ohio or Columbus, I mean. But one of the stays that we had, I had enough points that I got that day that whole stay for free. So I mean, it's worth it if you travel enough. But that's the key, is if you travel enough. So it could take you years to get a free night if you don't. But and they let us, like when I travel for work, they let us take the points too, so that's a good thing. Although I haven't signed up for one of their stupid credit cards because I don't need another credit card like I need a hole in the head. And there you go.
Yeah, I only use one credit card. That's my work credit card. Mm-hmm. When I have to go somewhere for work. Other than that, I just don't go.
Well, you went to Southeast Memphis last year, but
I don't go anywhere anymore, Joel.
I know.
Yeah, but that was a year ago, man. Like, what?
What
was I saying about that?
Finally, you're...
Like, it gets weird, man. Like, I realize... Like, I'll get to last weekend, I'm like, you know,
Right.
I didn't leave the house. And by house, I mean, like, my yard. I didn't really, except to go down to the bus stop.
I know my runs feeling. And stuff.
I didn't leave for like a week.
That it's like the lunchtime like, today. I really, I did.
I'm like the weekend.
Well, I wanted
comes,
to go
like,
somewhere, and I didn't want to go somewhere. You know, I wanted to get out of the house, and thankfully, after work, we made a run over to Sam's Club because it's. Run a little low on the grocery. In fact, I'm going to try and go finish the rest of the grocery run, get some stuff for lunch. Because Sam's Club, it's like, you know, to get lunch things at Sam's Club, it's like if you want all of the same thing, like if you want like something that you can microwave quick or something like that, if you don't have any leftovers, because generally we don't have leftovers because 20-year-old that lives with me. Like, if you want to buy that kind of stuff at Sam's Club, you either better, you know, you either can get a variety pack that has three that you'll eat and one that you won't, or all the same thing. And having the same thing 3 days in a row, nah, man, I can't do that. Not always. You know, I have things that I can cook up real quick.
Like
I
might fire
up the grill and grill some hot dogs. I do have that. Right. Oh, yeah, frozen.
No,
stuff.
But I mean, like, if you go to Sam's Club and you buy a lot of one thing. It's
actually,
not like fresh, right? You can just put it in a cabinet or leave it in the freezer for the next week.
Yeah, most of those are all the same things. But then some things, like they have these salads where there's like three or four of those salads, prepackaged salads, in one pack, and all the same salad. So it's like a chicken Caesar or some chicken Asian chicken or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, so there's those kinds of things too. But then, of course, you can buy lunch meat there. And their lunch meat's good too, the Castlewood, I think it is. You can get it at Walmart too. But that stuff's pretty decent. But it's like I got to have a mix. You know, I like to have like generally what I'll do is I've – Couple microwave meals in there just in case I don't have much time, because those will heat up quick and I can fire it up in the microwave, get it heated up, walk it back to my office and eat it while I'm reading email. If I have enough time to actually step away and cook something, I'll have a couple things in there that I can do that with, you know, like maybe make a grilled cheese sandwich or something like that, you know, something quick, but that requires some minimal cooking, you know. But that's the kind of stuff I generally eat for lunch, or, you know, if I have leftovers, which, like I said, doesn't happen often, not in my house. And I know that probably doesn't happen often in your house either, Dan. It just depends. Sometimes I'll make something super big and I'll have leftovers, but most often I don't.
See, I got like kind of the opposite problem that you have. Like,
do you have a short order at all?
Five people I have to cook for, and then only. No, then I, well, yeah, might as well. Then, like, only two or three people eat everything that I cook. And then I get tons of leftovers. Like, some weeks, like, I'm like, well, I don't think two of the people are going to eat any of this. And then they do. And then there's, like, so I don't have enough. And then I got the opposite.
So you
it's
have
like,
quick
I make
stuff
it,
in
and
the fridge
like,
for
I
lunch,
like
too,
that.
Just in
I don't
case.
Want any. And I got tons of it left over. And I got to eat it for, like, the next day. Actually, you know what? I don't. I mean, sometimes, like, I have garden burgers or something like that, but usually, like...
Yep. Well, this time of year, I like to have things, like I'll have some, like, maybe some frozen chicken breast or some burgers that I can throw on the grill real quick and grill up a burger or something to eat. And those are for the days where I can do, like, a little short cooking thing. Where it doesn't take me that long to do, you know. But then there's the days where I'm in calls all freaking day, and it's like, you know, those are the days where I mute my headset while the call's still going on, walk over to my microwave, stick it in, heat it up, walk it back while I'm still on the phone call at the same damn time. you know? Yeah. The Dollar Tree.
You go to your adult playground.
I see what he do recently.
At the Dollar Tree and stack
oh, he
up
did,
on all
he,
that
he actually
shit
had a good
there.
One on there. He did a whole pig on his pellet smoker.
That's not the one.
Maybe.
The channel.
Yeah, the Good
That's
Food
his,
Channel.
Like
right?
One of his other channels.
Or the...
That's the Good Food Channel. Mm-hmm.
The meatball one?
Oh, you know what I'm up to right now, Joel? You know what we're up to? We're up to the point where he has the newfound love with the air fryer. So I just watched I rewatched the third like air fryer
well, you know
episode.
What? That's a
this
great
time
idea.
With my wife.
Maybe
and,
I
like,
should
not
show
everybody
that.
Wants
I was
an
watching
air fryer,
YouTube videos.
You know what I mean?
After while I was eating today, maybe I should do that to get my wife to want let me buy an air fryer.
Well, you know what? I can't take credit for this, right? I have to say, because we were watching it. We watched it today. We watched the air fryer one, and it was my wife, myself, and Avery and Lily were in the room. And Avery was like, well, we should get an air fryer.
There
his
you
dad
go.
Wants an air fryer now. And he's like, yeah. And they're like, well, maybe for Father's Day. I'm like, there you go, Joel. Mm-hmm. Father's Day's coming up. So start watching those air fryer videos in front of everybody. And
yeah,
like,
he did a
look at that
biscuits and
chicken.
Gravy, one
look
of those camping freeze-dried meals. No, he did that. No, that was just add water to it, you know, like campground food.
In the air fryer?
And then the one he did before that 2 days ago was
a
suckling
pig
smoked on a Yoder YS640 pellet smoker. Mm. And then they did curry udon noodles. And 2 weeks ago, he did tasty balls. You know what today is, Dan? Now, according to a friend of mine, it's National Slider Day.
May 15th?
As in White Castle Sliders. Yeah. Oh, did you watch the Wolf Pit nuclear noodle yet?
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You know what? So this is what I don't get, right? Because I was looking at this earlier. Like, I go to the Wolf Pit, and if I look at the list of videos, and again, it depends on how it gets displayed, but
yeah.
What are we eating?
Right.
Wolfman eats nuclear fire noodles, right? So that was 2 months ago. But if you go to his channels,
those are the channels that he follows.
Where is his homepage?
The Wolf Pit, right?
Oh, wait. Okay, so if I go to the homepage and I go to, like what we usually do on the Roku, I go to the homepage and then I go to the What Are We Eating?
It's on the Wolf channel, Pit.
And that video isn't there. It's not listed on
What Are playlist. We Eating.
I know it's on the Wolf Pit, but it's a What Are We Eating video that's not listed on the What Are We Eating channel. Yeah, it's not in there. Because that's the one we were going through.
You're talking about the
Poorly Fashioned. I was looking
playlist?
Forward to getting to it. I'm like, well, I should be nearby. Because we are on his list of so we just watched the Air Fryer Jalapeno Poppers and the Whataburger, What Are We Eating, the Dollar Tree Chicken one. So that was I think those are like 3 or 4 months ago.
So the you know what I just noticed is the nuclear
really
noodles
close
are
to that
not,
one, but it's not on his
in
channel.
The What Are We Eating playlist. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So
it's
the guy,
not
so,
in there.
So
I don't know where,
don't
like,
even,
but it is a What Are
now?
We Eating.
He said it.
Is at it least Larry? He says it in the subject, so, but it's not.
Yeah,
it's not,
he probably just didn't
Larry?
Put it in the playlist.
It's
guess.
Larry. Yeah. Yeah. That must be
See,
it because I'm,
yeah,
I'm
I
like,
rarely will
all right, so I'm
I,
3 months
say,
ago,
very rarely,
and
I'll
the
go
nuclear
through a
noodles
channel,
one was 2 months
but
ago,
I don't
so I'm
usually
like,
use their
like
playlist. I just go to videos.
Behind it.
So I go, you know, where it has the main tabs are home, videos, playlists, community, channels, and about. The channels are his channel, the channels that the Wolf Pit follows. Videos are just all of his videos, and that's usually chronological order. And then playlists.
Yeah.
And I very rarely use a playlist.
Yeah, when I go to when I look at it through the Roku, it was easier.
The What Are We Eating
we just
ones,
wanted the
right?
Wolf Pit ones. It was easier just to go to that channel and then list the Wolf Pit. But some of
really?
Them aren't in there. Yeah, the What Are We Eating? But there's some in the What Are We Eating playlist that aren't even his too.
Yeah, he
it's
probably
really weird.
Did it.
Yeah, there's
he
some,
is
I don't know how that got like, added in there. But you know, yeah, and I'm interested in watching some of his. Like I've watched some of his other What Are We Eating? Like the stuff
he
makes. I'm like, man, he makes some really nice stuff.
Cents. And it's this young guy, this young black guy. He just got married, and he's got his first kid on the way. But he likes to cook for his wife, and for eventually he'll like to cook for his kid, of course. But like he does things like he did chicken parmesan the other day, which looked pretty good. Yep. Fam 2 cents.
Teriyaki pork stir fry, shrimp Alfredo, and cheddar biscuits.
The thing I like about him is he basically makes it. The stuff he makes are I don't even think anything actually has recipes. He basically just tells you put a little of this, a little of that. You know, he doesn't really have like measurements. You know, he makes it so easy that as you're watching it, you probably can figure out how to do it and make it like you want. By the way, like his latest one is Squishy's Mother's Day dinner. Squishy's his wife. That's his nickname for his wife, Squishy. But he's a good guy. He actually lives in Ohio, up by Cleveland, I think. And that's actually just started this year. I don't know, my kitty, you're talking kitty cat, my cat.
Talking kitty cat's back, Joel. Talking kitty cat's back after almost a year.
Oh.
No, I mean, talking kitty cat.
No.
Videos. Sylvester. Have you never watched Talking Kitty Cat?
That, when,
oh my god.
Oh, the video where the cat was going, hey.
You gotta watch. No, Talking Kitty Cat is like, so this guy named Steve Cash has this cat Sylvester that meows a lot. So he's like made this whole series of like movies, this sitcom thing going on.
Oh dear God.
with Sylvester and the other cats he has and his dog Shelby. And there's this narrative, and it is freaking awesome. It is hilarious. Like Sylvester is like this evil cat that just wants to kill everybody. Right, and is just wants to kill people and get high on catnip all the time.
If you could have done hilarious video.
He does such a fantastic job.
Your Tumblr log with a possum.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, they're so well made. Like you can see when he first started doing them. They had that, like, you know, YouTube amateurish quality, but he was learning his stuff. But like now, they're always spot on. They're so good. They're funny as hell. I'll put the link to the channel to see. They're just so good. And there's this guy, named Todd that they're all afraid of, apparently, because they think like Todd will kidnap them and take them to their trailer, and Sylvester keeps telling all the other cats that's what's going to happen to him, and he tells like the dog he's going to slit her throat and stuff like that.
Nice.
It's good. It is so good. I can't recommend Talking to Kitty Cat enough.
And the other, there's, for some dumb reason, like this weekend I got so caught on the dash cam like footage episodes. Again. They're like train wrecks, man. You know, it's like you're sitting there. Oh no! I guess got caught watching them.
Oh, I thought you got caught on dash watching cam all these footage. Like you were on the cam, footage,
you know, like crazy crashes in America, stuff like that. Then I saw a CNET review of. Apparently they're bringing out the Iron Man gauntlet from Endgame. You know, not what Tony wore, but what the Hulk was wearing. You know, the one they made. But they're bringing out like a toy of that with all the gems in it. And that's $100. It's like, holy crap. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I know, I can print my own for that.
For the gauntlet?
Yeah, I don't know, man. $100? I don't know who would spend that much. I guess a crazy comic book person.
What would I do with that shit anyway?
Yes, I've seen it. Yeah, you know, yeah.
Alright, so did you ever watch Angry Video Game Nerd, Cinemassacre channel, Angry Video Game? Like when I look at his everything he has, like if you've watched some of his other shows like Board Game James and things like that, like you go to other parts of his house and he just has when you see his basement with the walls lined with video game shelves and DVDs and VHS, and then there's a whole other room of board games that are on shelves and stuff. I'm like,
what? Well,
I can't imagine LGR ever having that much LGR, stuff and right? having to move.
Laser like, game that reviews?
It's just an insane amount of stuff to pack.
Oh, you should.
No, I've not seen LGR.
Oh, I'm just that saying. Shit. Like, yeah, I know.
Like, because I think about that and I say,
no. You
know, who gets, like, the loot crate stuff? And what do they do with it?
No, you
know,
you seriously need to look at Lazy Game Reviews. Because that's all he does. That's, like, that's
you're
going to
have to lug that crap around with you all the everywhere right, you
so
go.
He does. He reviews, like old games, like old like games that used to run on DOS and stuff like that. And he has like he had an unboxing of an original, and it was actually never touched, never opened when it was brand new, IBM AT computer, you know, and all sorts of stuff like that. He has some of my favorite segments he does is he'll go thrifting, and he takes a he has a like a head like a camera. It's built into a set of sunglasses, you know, so he can actually wear that when he goes thrifting, and that's how he records his thrifting adventures. So that way he doesn't really stick out too much, you know. So he'll look for games like old video games and stuff in the Goodwill and the different thrift stores and stuff. And those videos, actually, his thrifting videos usually are filmed like over like a month of him thrifting. So he doesn't always go in like in one trip to Goodwill and find all of the things that he'll show in one episode. But there's that, and then he'll do things like he did reviews of The Sims 4 and all the different add-on modules and crap like that. But my favorite ones that he does are the Oddware ones. Like he did one where he reviewed a early set of 3D glasses that were dependent on your computer using a CRT. Yeah. And he did a review of I guess Sony made a headset like a head mounted screen that you would put on your face, and it would basically look like you're watching a 60-inch TV. I forget what those, I think they were the cyber headphones. I can't remember what the actual Sony name of it was, but it's stuff like that. But the dude has, you know, he's made enough that he's able to buy a house with YouTube money, and he actually most of his collection is in a storage thing, and apparently he must have electric in there because he films a lot of his segments in that storage facility. You know, good. Those are cool too.
You know that? Yeah. That's surprisingly. I'm looking at his site right now. Like he's got the one that interests me is the LGR Tech Tales Bonsai Buddy. Hi, I remember
I
Bonsai
heard
Buddy.
Of that one.
But that surprises me. Like my daughter likes Dope or Nope, right? Have you ever heard of that? So there's Dope or Nope. I forget what the company is called that produces that. They have a couple of different shows that they produce. But I'm just like, I'm surprised at how much money these places are like raking in.
Well, Linus,
like you say, you know, LGR was able to buy
yeah,
a house.
Linus
like
Sebastian
this
from,
place
from,
has this whole
from
company
Linus,
that they produce
I think it's
these
Linus
videos.
Tech Reviews or Linus,
you know,
I can't remember what his channel is.
What's that?
Linus Tech Tips.
Linus Tech Tips, thank you.
But I mean, I'm just like, you know,
Clint, who is the guy
making,
in the LGR
like
videos. He also started another channel called LGR Foods. You'll like that one. So, like, he'll cook his lunch and show you how he cooked his lunch. 9 times out of 10, it's usually sandwiches, which. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Or like he did a junk full garlic salt pork bone robin. But I know, well, you were late too, but
oh man. Damn it. It's like 10:15.
Of course then there's the 8-bit guy too. You've had to see an 8-bit guy, right? Huh. Yeah. 8-bit The 8-bit guy is not far from where you are.
I probably have.
Joe.
I don't think I've watched the 8-bit guy.
Yeah, he's I think his latest video is restoring a Commodore, three Commodore PCs, because I guess Commodore late in their life made actual x86 compatible PCs. Which I knew that, but Commodore. Then he has like one he did on dissecting two word processors, like the old school word processors they had back in the day. How speech synthesizers works, and he shows you a speak and spell, stuff like that. Lots of old school tech.
No.
Hey Joe, I got a perfect channel for
Never.
You.
Click click.
Self-respect.
Flyingrich.com.
Click click. Of course, he doesn't have too many gun things on here.
But yeah, holy moly. Oh yeah. I wish there I could have said something about the trying out Arch Linux on the Pinebook, but I'm just finishing validation of the image right now. It wouldn't have taken me over half the episode to find a damn SD card. I'm like, I found the weirdest place I found it was in a
oh, you have a Pi Zero,
Raspberry Pi Zero. Like, it's never been used. Yeah, somebody sent it to me. I gotta use it. The problem I have for the longest, I still have this problem too, is like, I'd like to hook it up to a monitor to at least see what I'm doing on this thing, but I need a like one of the mini HDMI.
Oh, and that's like
interfaces.
That,
and the only
say,
monitor
that
I have
me,
that
one of the
has
I to talk
HDMI
about today
is
that,
upstairs. I don't have a mini cable for it.
I'll bring up briefly, but I haven't actually had a chance to try this. But there is some neat software out there called OpenAuto that I did share that in the Discord. Basically, what OpenAuto is, you don't have to use a Pi, but generally that's probably what you would want to use, because basically you can build a Pi with the screen. And the way this works is you plug in your Android phone into your Pi, and bingo bango, that Raspberry Pi with the screen is now an Android Auto screen. So you can have Android Auto in your car without replacing your whole head unit, which is kind of spiffy. So it's something I kind of like to build, but I need to buy another Pi 3 because you're going to need the horsepower for that. And you also got to do a little compiling too, because you don't have a Raspi image. So you basically would load up Raspbian on it, and then you would do it that way. You know, basically set up, do a git pull, and compile the software and stuff like that. But if you look on YouTube, there's a couple YouTubers. Like, there's one guy, I forget the channel, but he built one and basically built a out of wood, he built like a thing to put the display in, and he has it mounted in the ceiling of his truck. So, and it's pretty spiffy. He's got it set up so that the Pi will boot up and boot right into OpenAuto when you start the car. And then I believe he has a button on the side of it that he'll hit the button right before he turns the car off, and then that way he'll shut the Pi down properly. But pretty nifty stuff. So that is something I would like to do, but it's one of those things where I don't know how much use I would get out of it, because my Traverse has a nav system in it anyway, and not an Android Auto nav system, but it does have a nav system in it. So I don't know how much use I would get out of it. I mean, I guess I could have it talk to the stereo via the Bluetooth built onto the Pi 3, but we'll see. I haven't decided if I'm going to do it yet or not. Yep.
Yeah, time for me to go.
Oh, I gotta play us out. All right, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 809. We shall see you in 1 week. Happy. Yeah. And hopefully I'll have the arch running on this thing by then. Here are your promos, Joel. Enjoy. Fired up.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduk to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com. IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
Oh my God, it's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You by fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson. And Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the J-A-K attack.com. Time well wasted.
Teddy, it's a gun.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Grand. Were you and Nick and Ed pretty young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah. I was going to start up a print, but I think I might wait on it. So I need to get more Maker coins printed before Southeast Linux Fest. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How many are you going to print? Why am I having a bugger of a time getting this Pi mode to start?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Joel.
Make sure you don't have it plugged in the headphone jack.
Yeah. When you charge the Pinebook,
because I think the adapter will plug into both places. Yeah. No, I've done it on that. I've also done that on my Aspen Hybrix.
Shut up, Joel. I feel like a fucking idiot. Yeah, I know, because that's the first slot I saw just out of
you see my hybrid is I'm exactly
like,
the same.
I was like, I just looked at it
and,
like,
and
oh,
I saw
oh.
that.
And now when you said that,
to avoid,
like, oh, you know, because I'm like, why isn't it like because
it's the same exact size as the headphone jack? It's strange. Oh, I just ordered not just some some coffee, but I also I feel like an idiot. What X noodles, because I want to try those now. Oh. I want to see how hot those are. Good night. Yeah, tripod thingy, I printed it in a green emerald silk. Show on the road.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, okay.
You got a dog taser?
Yeah, I got a dog taser. That's how we stopped her. We tased her right there in the street. Right there on the street.
I want to say, I love Lily's reaction to the noodles.
Ay, ay, ay.
She was like, nope.
You lucked out. Paige was here.
Looked like Avery liked them, though.
Yeah, Avery did. She... Oh, it is from...
She ate half of them, so...
Yeah, Avery liked them.
And that's doing pretty good, as fast as she ate them, too.
I should talk about them on the show, instead of... Everybody wants to hear that.
Yes, you should. It was interesting.
Everybody right. wants to hear about your ass on fire.
Yeah.
Yay!
We'll talk about that.
Never were you so glad to have a bidet. I bet you that helps.
The bidet helps with everything. All right.
Yay.
Oh, okay. All right, let's do this. Let's get it going. Joe ain't got all night, or does he?
Really don't.
Okay. Well, what? Oh. So this is 719, right?
I don't know.
No, not 719. 809. What am I thinking? 719. Damn, it's 809. That last week was 807. And if I'm not mistaken, that was... Last week was 808, and that was on the 8th of May.
It was, I was going to say, right. Yeah.
So that's special. I like.
And
I
it's 29 days until I drive to Charlotte.
I like how the dates, I like it when the dates match up to, like, the show number. I don't know why I get a kick out of that. It's just, today it's not going to.
Me.
Yeah, here we go. Let's fire it off. Give me a count around, Joel.